Let there be no mistake. For those of us who love our music, it can be a polarizing force in our lives. For instance, just the thought or suggestion of having to listen to anything by what my daughter and I refer to as the pandering country bands, or worse yet, that Friday song that came out a few years ago, makes me cringe, and honestly, raises my ire a few degrees. That is to say, that music has a tendency to evoke some pretty strong emotions. Many of the people I call my friends feel just as strongly about their music as I do. Maybe that's why I want so badly to tell this story. I have yet to meet another person who loves the artist I'm talking about today as much as I do. Maybe my dad did, but we never really talked about that kind of thing. I've had several discussions, I read arguments, about the validity of his work over the years, specifically with two of my closest friends, Ryan and John. What's funny is they have never met, and they have completely different personalities, but their reaction when they walk in the room or get in a vehicle and hear me playing this music is always the same. Something along the lines of, "Oh no, not this again." So today, even though copyright laws are a thing, licensing costs are huge and my bankroll is not, and I can't actually play any of his songs or even clips from them, I will attempt to explain my love for the music of C.W. McCall, a true American storyteller. I can't focus on just one of his songs because his story is just too good, and truthfully, his music is more about fun than being deep. That does not, however, make it any less a substantial part of my musical history and memories. What's really wild is that the artist featured today isn't even a real person. He is a character created for a bread commercial. Yes, you heard that right. A bread commercial. So, Earl, let's mail a card to Mother and send them chickens on down the other side. Yeah, let's give them a ride. Sit back, relax, and hopefully enjoy episode 5 of Life Through Lyrics, the story of C.W. McCall and his music. Because every song tells a story. Some just do it better than others. The man who would become C.W. McCall, William Dale Fries, was born in Audubon, Iowa, a small town about 83 miles west of the capital city of Des Moines, on November 15, 1928. His parents were both music lovers, and growing up in that environment inspired that same love in Fries as well. He learned to play the clarinet as a child, and he was a drum major for the marching band at his high school. However, he was more drawn to art than music by the time he left for the University of Iowa, where he majored in fine arts, but also studied music and participated in the concert band. After graduating from college, Fries accepted a job with a small television station in Omaha, Nebraska, where he worked as a staff artist. After 5 years on the job, he was even given the opportunity to host his own local television show for a short time. Then, in 1961, Fries decided to make a move and took a position at the advertising agency of Bozell Jacobs, also in Omaha. In this position, he would work closely with a jingle writer named Chip Davis. This job and this partnership proved to be a turning point for both men and a beginning to an incredible and frankly unlikely journey. Fast forward a bit. It is now 1972, and Bozell Jacobs, the advertising agency where Fries is now working as a senior vice president and creative director, has a client who wants something quote-unquote different to showcase their product. The client is the Metz Baking Company, and the product they want to spotlight is their Old Home Bread. What Fry's came up with is a campaign featuring a slick-talking truck driver for Old Home Bread, who sometimes has his trusty dog Sloan riding shotgun. They are always destined to stop and make a delivery at the Old Home Filler Up and Keep On a Truckin' Cafe, where they chat and flirt with a saucy, gum-smacking waitress named Mavis. However, he still needed a name for the truck driver. According to the man himself, he came up with the idea for CW by deciding on using country western music for the ads. McCall, however, came a little bit more by chance. He was searching his brain for what he determined to be a Studley last name when he saw an issue of McCall's magazine on a table. He put the two together in his head, and it rolled off his tongue perfectly. Decision made. Fries based the idea of the cafe and the waitress on memories of a similar establishment he remembered going to in his childhood. The Metz Company loved the idea, so it was decided they would move forward with filming the television spots and recording the radio ads. To create the ad campaign, Fries wrote the lyrics to the songs used in the commercials, while Chip Davis, who swore he would never write country and western music, wrote the music to accompany it. It was decided that Fries himself would be the voice of the campaign, because his deep Midwestern tone just fit it so well. The role of C.W. McCall on film was played by Dallas actor Jim Finlayson, and Mavis was played by Dallas actress Jean McBride. A series of 60-second commercials were filmed, chronicling the relationship between CW and Mavis from their first meeting and early flirting, all the way up to a drive-in movie date where Mavis asked to bring along her mother as a chaperone. They became quite a phenomenon, and according to Fries, as soon as the ads began to air, viewers and listeners started writing letters to the Metz Baking Company wanting to know more about CW, Mavis, and what was going on with them. People were even calling in to television and radio stations trying to find out when the ads would air so they could be sure not to miss them. Mind you, since this was long before social media and the advent of anything going viral, this obsession was limited to the territory served by the Metz Company, which included Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota. However, the campaign did draw national media attention, including mentions in publications like the Wall Street Journal. More impressively, the campaign won Fries and Bozell Jacobs not one, but two Clio Awards, the advertising industry equivalent of the Emmys, one in 1974 and the other in 1976. If you're interested in seeing some of these commercials today, you can find them on YouTube by searching Old Home Bread Commercial. At least, that's how I found them. In 1974, at the age of 46, Fries was approached by MGM Records about recording a single version of the song used in the ad campaign. He agreed, and when the Old Home Filler Up and Keep On a Truckin' Cafe made it to number 19 on the Billboard country charts, MGM decided they wanted more. C.W. McCall and his band, led by Davis, known then as the Old Home Band, signed a 5-year contract, transforming the advertising executives into recording stars. Their first album, Wolf Creek Pass, was released in January 1975. It peaked at number 4 on the country charts and included the title cut as a single, which peaked at number 12, as well as Classified at number 13. Their second album, however, Black Bear Road, was released in September 1975 and went all the way to number 1 on the Billboard country chart and number 12 on the Billboard 200. It would also go on to be certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, having sold at least 500,000 copies in the U.S. Fries, now popularly known as CW himself, and the band began touring and appearing on TV shows like Johnny Carson and Hee Haw. All of this success and popularity was thanks to the obsession listeners had with one of the singles from Black Bear Road, the truckin' song, Convoy. Coming at the height of the CB radio craze in the U.S., and during a time of fuel embargoes and lowered speed limits, the song captured everyone's imagination and hearkened their inner rebel. The song is so renowned, in fact, that Rolling Stone magazine has listed it 98 among the 100 greatest country songs of all time. More albums would follow during their contract, Wilderness and Rubber Duck, both released in 1976, Roses for Mama in 1977, and C.W. McCall & Company in 1979. These were all moderately successful, but none reached the heights achieved by Black Bear Road and Convoy. By 1979, the grind of touring and being away from home, as well as the pressures of meeting record company deadlines and expectations, caused Fries, Davis, and what was now known as the Fort Calhoun Nuclear Power Plant Boys Band to call it quits. Davis and the band went on to create Mannheim Steamroller. Yep, the band that gave us Convoy and Crispy Critters is Mannheim Steamroller. Fries and his family moved permanently to their San Juan Mountain vacation home in the town of Ouray, Colorado. In 1986, he won his first of 3 2-year terms as mayor of the town, serving in that capacity until 1992. He and his wife still live there today. I was thumbing through the one ads in the Shelby County Tribune when a classified advertisement caught my eye. When I was in fifth grade, there was a talent show at Sugarland Run Elementary School, where I was a student. Now, just to give you a little background, at that point in my life I had yet to really find a talent to latch onto. I was not an athlete. I was certainly not a dancer. I couldn't play an instrument. I had proven that to my music teacher. Poor Mr. Price. He gave a valiant effort trying to teach us all to play something resembling music on our plastic recorders. Nor was I a singer. However, I really wanted to be in this talent show. Enter C.W. McCall and his stories, which I had been hearing played in my house by my dad and one of my brothers for quite a while at that point. I decided that I could take on the character in the song Classified and tell this hilarious, at least to me, story of buying a wreck of a used truck out of the paper. I listened to the song over and over, and with the help of my brother wrote down all the lyrics, since at the time there was no website to go to. Then I began working on memorizing them. My mother helped me with costuming, boots, jeans, button-up shirt, puffy vest, and trucker hat. Perfect. I couldn't get just the music to narrate the song with, so I had to recite the song a cappella, which was a little intimidating, but I got through it. I didn't win, not by a long shot, but I did get a few laughs, and no lasting emotional scars, so I'll call that a positive. Also, I still love the song, and I still remember most, if not all, of the lyrics. As a matter of fact, I find myself using a quote from this song all the time, even though people have no idea what I'm talking about when I say, "That's a long story, Harold." Funny side note, if you find and listen to the song on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you go to get your musical fix, as you listen, bear in mind that this song, written by Fries and Davis, is actually a true story. Although the person buying the truck was not Fries himself. It was actually his son Mark. If you don't smile hearing about Bob, Frank, Harold Sykes and his kid, and the misadventures of buying this hunk of junk truck, then you just might be too tough a nut to crack. What's my favorite part? I took a left on the one-lane gravel road, went 14 west on County 12, took two full quarts of 40-weight oil just to get her to the Conoco station. I put up to the regular pump, then Harold Sykes and his kid come out and said, "I've seen better stuff in a junkyard. Where'd you ever get that truck?" I said, "That's a long story, Harold." Me and Earl was hauling chickens on a flatbed out of Wiggins, and we'd spent all night on the uphill side of 37 miles of hill called Wolf Creek Pass, which is up on the Great Divide. Without a doubt, this is my favorite C.W. McCall song. First of all, it's a buddy song. Earl, driving the truck, and his partner, presumably C.W., calmly riding shotgun and throwing out one-liners. The dialogue is quick and witty, but most people don't give it a chance, because either they don't like the bluegrass background music, or they can't get past the sound of the backup singers. Talking to you here, Ryan. But if you really listen, there is some great stuff in this song. Also, the imagery is so clear. You can see the action happening as the story is being told. Lines like, "We roared up off of that shoulder, spraying pine cones, rocks, and boulders," give a perfect picture of the truck beginning its descent down the treacherous Wolf Creek Pass. I guess I can identify with the fact that everything that can go wrong does in this song, and sometimes that just seems to be the story of my life. Take this part. "Well, Earl grabbed on the shifter and he stabbed her into fifth gear, and then the chromium-plated, fully illuminated, genuine accessory shift knob come right off in his hand. I says, 'You want to screw that thing back on, Earl?'" You feel like poor Earl is having one of those uh-oh moments to keep it clean, and CW is just so laid back that it doesn't even bother him or occur to him to help. I'm going to assume that several of you listening haven't memorized this song in the story the way I have, so I'm not going to give it all away, but if you want to laugh, please give it a listen when you get a chance. Take it for what it's meant to be, just good, clean fun. "Well, I looked at Earl and his eyes was wide, and his lip was curled and his leg was fried, and his hand was froze to the wheel like a tongue to a sled in the middle of a blizzard. I says, 'Earl, I'm not the type to complain, but the time has come for me to explain that if you don't apply some brake real soon, they're going to have to pick us up with a stick and a spoon.'" Now, I could go on and on, quoting McCall songs and talking about why I like them, but I think that I've given you enough to chew on for now. I would prefer to leave some discoveries on the table for those of you who choose to explore a bit further. For the beginning listener, I would recommend starting with either C.W. McCall's Greatest Hits or The Best of C.W. McCall. One song that I thought about including on this podcast but didn't is on the Best of C.W. McCall album. It's called Audubon, and it's actually Fry's autobiography of sorts. It gives you an insight into where the man and the music came from. His description of the real Mavis Davis in this song is not at all politically correct, but it is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in a song. Anyway, to quote the man himself, and to leave you for today, "Well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we're going to back on out of here. So keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's the rubber ducky on the side. We gone. Bye-bye." This has been Life Through Lyrics with Chris Benick. I hope you enjoyed this episode and will consider listening again in the future. Also, please consider sharing this podcast with someone you think might appreciate it or find it interesting. If you'd like to reach out and discuss any of my thoughts, opinions, or ideas further, I can be reached on Twitter at Life Lyrics Pod, on Instagram at Life Lyrics Podcast, or you can email me at lifelyricspodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have a song you would like to hear me discuss, send it my way. Until next time, remember, if it doesn't make you feel something, it ain't worth listening to. Life Through Lyrics is written, produced, and recorded by Chris Bennick. Music used in this episode: Blues Infusion by Quincas Moreira, Red Hot Sun by J.R. Tundra, 5 of July, The Twister, Michigan Greens, and Lazy River Rag by Dan Leibowitz. River Radio 92.3, WBPM, and Lazy Porch Swing Blues by Unicorn Heads, and Rural Stride by Josh Kirsch. All downloaded from YouTube Creator Studio. Also, special thanks to the following websites for the background information used in the history portion of this podcast: imdb.com, cwmccall.com, nashvillecountrydaily.com, narrowgauge.org, and bozell.com. Special thanks to my beautiful wife. When I say a rock, I mean a rock, Kim. Amazing daughter. There's only room for one hysterical queen here, dear. Adopted son. It could be argued that. And all my friends who are supporting me in this selfish venture. Even the ones that argue with me. Ryan, Pate, I'm talking to you here. I appreciate and love you all more than you could ever know. Anchor.fm. Thanks for helping out amateur podcasters like me, because they have helped me get published on their service, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. So until next time, rock on!